The title of the message today is, I am the light of the world. Someone recently asked me if I ever do sermon series, and I said, not really. I've done three or four sermons on the seven Jewish feasts and a few sermons on the Holy Spirit, but usually the Lord gives me something different every Sunday. Usually I'm waiting on the Lord into Sunday morning. The Lord may be leading me to do a series, though, on the seven I am statements of Jesus from the book of John. And in actuality, there are eight I am declarations if we include the end of John chapter 8. John 8:56, Jesus said, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They picked up stones to kill Jesus because they understood what he was saying. When he said, I am, Jesus was quoting Exodus 3, and he was claiming to be God. Exodus 3:13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. To deliver his people from Pharaoh's slavery in Egypt, the I am sent Moses. To deliver his people from Satan's slavery to sin, the I am sent his son. The eternal, glorious, self-existent Father sent the I am. Part of himself, his son, his only son, the Alpha and the Omega, to save the world. I am declares that God the Father and God the Son have no beginning and no end. The triune God is always gloriously present. The seven I am statements of Jesus show us a glimpse of who this ineffable God is. The seven I am revelations are, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the door, John 10:9. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11 through 14. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And I am the vine, John 15:1 through 5. But today I'm led by the Spirit to start with the second I am, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The first words God spoke in recorded scripture are, let there be light. We see the first and greatest need in creation was what? That of light. Look with me at Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe that Genesis is literal. God created the worlds by the power of his own word in six literal 24-hour days. There was morning and there was evening the first day. But these verses are also prophetic and speak prophetically deeper of God redeeming men who are bound in darkness. A person's life before God is like the world before light. It's without form, and it's empty and darkness covers them. It covers men from their face, their countenance, down to the depths of their inner heart. They are hopeless without a miracle of God. But God, in His mercy, sent His Spirit to hover, to linger over the face of that dark and lifeless sinner. And then the Ruach, the breath of God, commands, "Let there be light." And there was light. Genesis 1:4, it says, "And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." God always separates light from darkness. 1 John says, "God is light. In Him is no darkness at all." Light drives out darkness. Light confounds darkness. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined." Isaiah spoke of a spiritual darkness that hung over the people like a heavy, deep darkness or shadow of death. But the prophet speaks of a greater light than the darkness, a light that delivers by shining. They've seen a great light. Praise God. A great light has shined. That light is Jesus Christ. Listen to Paul's conversion testimony in Acts chapter 26 to King Agrippa. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. It says, "At midday or high noon, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me." Listen, in the middle of the day, the sun was shining in its full strength. Saul saw a blinding light from heaven, which made the sun seem dim. What was that light? Look at verse 15. "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.' When Moses came down from Mount Sinai," it says that his face shone from being in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. This afterglow made the people nervous or uncomfortable, and so he put a veil over his face until the light dissipated. But Jesus Christ's face unveiled shines brighter than the sun. When he was transfigured, it says that his face shone like the sun. His clothes became whiter than any launderer could bleach them. He was radiant light. God just for a moment unveiled the humanity of Jesus, and they saw the true Son of God. Brighter than the sun, more glorious than the heavens. Jesus' light isn't a reflection or an afterglow like it was for Moses. He is the true light of God himself. Look at verse 16, Acts 26, 16. "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose," speaking to Saul, "to make you a minister and a witness both of the things you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." God says to Saul, "Even though you've been persecuting me, I have a calling on your life, Saul. I'm going to speak to you things, and I'm going to send you as a witness." Look at verse 17. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." He says, "Saul, I'm sending you into a hostile people. You're going to be persecuted." Later in Acts, he says, "I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." That's what he told Ananias. How would you like that to be the beginning of your ministry? Jesus says, "I'm going to show you how great things you're going to suffer for my name's sake." That's what he told Saul. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles. Not to run far away from them, I'm sending you to them. Just as I came to you in my grace and power, I'm sending my word through you to redeem some of them. I'm sending you into the fire, Saul." Look at what the purpose was. Verse 18. This was God's divine purpose for Saul's life, and it's God's divine purpose for the church today. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus said to Saul, I'm sending you to these hostile people who are blind, but I'm sending you with a message that will open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Listen, people in the world that don't know Christ, they don't just need a little adjustment. They don't just need a little reformation. They need to be taken out of the kingdom of Satan and planted into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They need to be rescued from their blindness. That's what Jesus sent Saul to do. So Paul begins this journey. And in 2 Corinthians 3:14, he shows us that he ran up against some resistance. Look at what it says. But their minds were blinded. He's speaking about Israel. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the old covenant, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Paul speaks of a veil, a spiritual blindfold woven with satanic lies that keeps men in darkness. But even today, verse 15, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. You see, the Jews were very religious. They went to synagogue every Sabbath. They were, for the most part, very faithful. But they were lost. They were blind. They were ignorant of the true light of God. Paul says that there was a veil over their heart. They couldn't see the true picture. They couldn't see the true light. Look at verse 16. Here's the hope. Nevertheless, when one or a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Just a look of hope and desperation to Christ. It says the veil is taken away. The veil that Jesus split when he said, it is finished, and light poured into the dark holy place. That veil in your heart, it's taken away. When you look to Jesus by faith, just a look, just a look. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, Paul goes on to speak about this veiling. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's concealed, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age or Satan has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, God wants to shine on them. In fact, it says that he has given every man that comes into the world light. That's what it says in the book of John, chapter 1. He's the true light that lights every man that comes into the world, so that we're all without excuse. But what do we do with that light? What do we do with the little light that we receive? It says in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4:6, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Back to Genesis 1, 3. He commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we were helpless. We also were blind, dead in sins and trespasses, without hope and without God in the world. But the Bible says that God commanded light to shine out of the darkness, just as he did on that first day of creation when he said, let there be light, and that which was formless and that which was void, which the Spirit of God hovered over, began to come into order. John said that Jesus, the light of God, he does, he lights every man that comes into the world, but many reject him. It says he came to his own, but his own received him not. Imagine a room with me full of blind people with blindfolds. You know, why would blind people wear blindfolds? But imagine it with me, if you will. Someone else has blindfolded them to make them doubly blind. And a glorious light fills the room. A bright light fills the room. A light that can be sensed even by blind men. And those who move by faith toward the light are healed and given immeasurable light, while those who reject the light lose the very light that they had. I imagine this light pouring in, coming around the blindfold, pouring in from the blindfold. On Sunday afternoons, I like to try to take a nap if I can. Because I'm old. I like to try to take a nap, and you know what hinders my nap? Light. So I take one of my black workout shirts and I lay it over my eyes, and you know, even if the sun is pouring and I don't want to see, I want to go to sleep. You see, when the sun comes up in the morning, there's something that happens chemically in our brains, and we see the light even with our eyes shut, and it triggers something in us, hormones in us, to wake us up. See, the light of God is intended to wake up those that are dead in sins. The light of God is the mercy of God, not just to show us our sins, but to say, I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready to heal you. I'm ready to make you my child. John 12:35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. What's the difference of people that stay blind and those that have their blindness healed? It's that those that are healed believe in the light. They sense there's something here. I can't see it. I don't fully understand it. But there's a light here, and I'm moving toward it. I'm crying out for it. And those that move toward the light in faith are healed. Remember blind Bartimaeus? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's the blind that get healed, that cry out, that turn and look to Jesus by faith. Colossians 1:13. This is speaking to those who have been healed by Christ, who've been forgiven of their sins, who've been saved, born again. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Glory to God. Believers are children of light, transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Do you know it's very hard if you're a citizen in another country to become a citizen in the United States? It's very hard even to get a green card. I know that because I have a wonderful daughter-in-law that's working to get her permanent residency.
Due to technical issues,
it's a difficult process.
A brief part of this section was lost.
If you do it legally.
Sermon continues.
Now, maybe if you showed up on the southern border, it might be a lot easier. But when we do it right, it's a very intensive, expensive process. Immigration lawyers, paperwork, forms to fill out. Go here, go there, leave the country, come back to the country. But guess what? When you are transferred from the kingdom of Satan as a slave to the kingdom of the Son of his love, it's instantaneous. It's instantaneous because Jesus Christ has done the hard work. He's filed the paperwork. He's put it up on the cross. And he said, it is finished. It's finished. You're mine. You're not his anymore. You're mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John 12:46. Jesus said, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The ones who believe in the light do not stay in darkness. They are delivered from the power of darkness by a greater light. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus didn't just come to save you to have you go back to spend weekends in the old camp with Satan. No, he saved you out of darkness into his light so that you don't have to live in darkness anymore. You're a different kind of person. You're a child of God. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. One of the most dangerous things about church attendance is the potential for self-deception. Many people believe they are saved because they have attended church faithfully for years. But they prove that they are still in darkness because they leave the church doors and walk in darkness. They're not saved. They haven't met the light of the world. They haven't been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and grace. John gives two primary tests to prove whether we are truly in the light. He says, you can know. Apply these tests to your life, and you can know if you're in the light or if you're still in darkness. It's the righteousness test and the love test. 1 John 3:5 says this, you know that he appeared in order to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. In other words, the proof that you've received the imputed gift of Jesus' righteousness is that it affects how you live. Now you live righteously because you have a new nature and you have the righteousness of Christ working itself out in your practical life. Verse 8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. This is very important here. John is not saying, he's not teaching sinless perfection here. He's not saying if you're born of God, you will never sin, because if you look at 1 John, the first two chapters, he says, if you say that you're without sin, you're also a liar. Right? We all stumble in many things, James said. We can't even tame our tongue. But John is talking about the person who just keeps on living in sin without repentance, without conviction, without the light of the world in them, saying, no, my son, you can't do that anymore. I'm in you, and I'm holy, and my light is driving out your darkness. See, a person that can live continuing in willful sin that goes against the scriptures, John says, they're not yet saved. They've not yet come into the light. They're still of the devil. They're still in the other camp. Now, God wants to rescue them out of the camp of the devil, but they're still in the wrong camp. Dangerous thing to think you're in God's camp when you're in the devil's camp still. Hardest people to reach are those people. Easier to reach a crack addict, a meth addict, a prostitute, a drug dealer than a person who thinks they're right with God and is still living a life walking in darkness. Look at verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil, that's his modus operandi. He's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. You know where he does that? He does that in the life of a believer. He smashes the works of Satan in your life. He breaks down. Now, you've been brought out of that kingdom, but there's still vestiges of a city of the enemy in your life. And he says, I'm here to smash those things. I'm here to destroy every last vestige down to powder of the enemy's kingdom so that you can walk with me and fulfill my purposes in your life, so that my light can shine through you. Because he said to the church, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world while I was on earth. Now you're the light of the world because I'm in you. Second test. So there's the righteousness test, which has a positive and a negative. The positive is you're practicing righteousness and you're not sinning. You're not walking in willful sin anymore. You're getting victory through the cross. That's the one test. The second test is the love test. Look at 1 John 2:9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother, listen, is still in the darkness. If you hate your brother, you're still in the darkness. Let me ask you this question. Is there anyone in the world, dead or alive, that you hate? Anyone? Then you are still in darkness. Christ's light has not filled you? Do you have a parent, a sibling, a spouse, a coworker, or a stranger that you hate? You're still in darkness. Hate can't live where Jesus' light is shining. Jesus is light and love. Hatred is a funnel of darkness into the heart, but love, God's forgiving love, brings in floods of light. You can't say I'm walking in the light and walk in hatred. They don't go together. Hatred is the revenue of the enemy. That's his currency. Love is the currency of Christ. Whoever loves, listen, whoever loves, verse 10, his brother abides in the light. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. Some of you trying to get victory over a certain sin issue, Jesus is saying, I want you to learn to walk in love. Because when you learn to walk in love, it's just going to take away all the roadblocks out of your life. When you learn to lay down your life for others, you're going to find my victory pouring out from the cross. Verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John 3:19. I'm going to transition here to speaking to people who have seen the light of Jesus somewhat. They've felt that light. They're like the blind people with the blindfolds, and they just feel the warmth of the light. I know there's light. I can't see it fully, but I know there's light. John 3:19, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. God sent his best, the darling of heaven, Jesus Christ, to redeem the world, and his plan is perfect. Its effect, when believed on, is perfect. There's no other way. And when men reject Christ, the light of the world, they reject all hope for themselves. When they love darkness rather than light, they're judging themselves. His light reveals the perfect love of God towards sinners who don't deserve it. Listen, I believe this, that when the light comes, it reveals darkness. It reveals sin. Light also reveals righteous works as well. But when the light of God comes to your heart, if it's to expose sin, the love of God, the mercy of God is right there saying, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm showing you this to pardon you. I'm showing you this to flow my incredible love and mercy over your life. For those who turn from his light, they tighten their own blindfolds, and he releases them to darkness. Revelation 16:10 speaks of the last in the 7-year tribulation period. The fifth angel pours out his vial, and it says, he poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. The ninth plague, if you go back to Exodus, the ninth plague on Egypt was a heavy darkness that could be felt. The people couldn't move out of their homes for 3 days. It paralyzed them. It was a paralyzing darkness. Think of stifling night terrors. I hope you've never experienced that. But think of that. People have said that. There's real testimonies about this, of people being in bed at night and all of a sudden they feel this dark presence and they can't move and they're terrified. That's a spirit of darkness. If you're a child of God, you can say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I claim the blood of Jesus over my life. Get out of here, Satan. You got no right in my room, no right in my house. Amen? I'm just going to insert this. I shouldn't, but I will. Someone once told me this. They said, I came to your church and I was visiting, and while I was sitting there, a really bad thought came through my mind. And I'm like, okay. And they were basically saying that was their reason to leave. And I thought, what? If I left the church every time I had a bad thought, I would have been gone on day one. If I left my bedroom every time I had a bad thought, I would have sold my house 100 times. Do you understand? We don't run from the situation. We stand our ground. We stand and we fight, and we fight not with the weapons that are carnal, but with the weapons that are spiritual. The weapons and armor of light. Amen? Praise God. Listen, so they had this darkness in Egypt, but Revelation 16:10 says that God had the angel pour out a vial of darkness on the throne, on the kingdom of the beast. And it says that they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. The last day darkness poured out on the kingdom of the beast will be so excruciating that people will chew on their tongue for relief. Think about that. Friend, hell is a terrible place that you don't want to go, nor do you want your loved ones to go there. That's part of the reason we have prayer meetings, to pray for lost loved ones, to pray that salvation would go forth, to pray that people would be truly born again. Scripture tells us that those that reject Christ's light will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing or grinding of teeth. 2 Peter 2:4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned or rebelled, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Chains of darkness. God put those fallen angels under chains of darkness and put them in hell to await the final judgment. Isaiah 28:22. Have you ever seen someone witnessing to another person, maybe publicly at a college or something? I've done this. And someone comes up and they just start mocking, just like making fun and making light and mocking God and mocking the scriptures. You know, that's what you do when the light begins to come onto your blindfold and you say, "No, I don't want the light." You make light of the light, the mercy of God. But look what it says in Isaiah 28:22. "Now therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bands or chains become strong." God says, "I warn you, don't put off my merciful light. Don't make light of my reaching out to you in love. If you do, your chains get stronger, heavier, weightier." Jeremiah 13:15. The prophet Jeremiah, speaking to the king and the queen, said, "Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken." You know what stops people from hearing? Pride. Do not be proud. The Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord, your God, before he causes darkness. And before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you're looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. Listen, God is the one who sent Jesus to be the light of the world, to pull people out of darkness. But he warns and says, "I'm the God that creates the light and the darkness. If you refuse me, I will lead you off into darkness." Jesus said, "Walk while you have the light, while it's shining on your blindfold, lest darkness overtake you." In John 12:36, again, "Walk while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Respond to the light before it goes away, before darkness overtakes you and it's too late. Psalm 107:10-14, here I'm going to end shortly, and this is a high note. This is a note for all who are in darkness, that God is merciful and wants to bring them out. Verse 10, "Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons," there's those chains of darkness, "because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help." Look at verse 13. Here's the turn. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, That's what God's looking for. He's looking for us simply to come to our senses and say, I'm in a pickle. This really stinks. I need help. I got no solutions. God, would you help me? And what does it say? He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Glory to God. He's still the chain breaker. He's still the God that breaks chains of darkness and leads us into his light. I appeal to any unbelievers still sitting in darkness. This voice that you're hearing today, this gospel message, whether through me or another preacher, is God's light coming to you to bring you out of darkness. I appeal to you, turn toward the light that's shining on you. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Jesus is true to every word he has said, and he will bring you out of darkness and break your chains in pieces. To believers, Paul exhorts, I want to speak to two groups of believers, some who may be going back to darkness and others who are faithfully fighting the darkness, walking with Christ as best as they can by the power of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You're children of light. Walk as children of light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Call them out. Reprove them. Not in self-righteousness, but in God's truth. Call them out. You know, the hard thing to do when you're in high school and there's peer pressure is if you try to keep silent and just maintain a testimony, it's very hard to do it. But if you're willing to speak up when the Holy Spirit shows you to, not that you call out every person that says a swear word, because you'll be calling them out every moment of the day, but when you respond to the Holy Spirit and you take your stand on righteousness and you call out the works of darkness, it will make it very easy for you to stand and be light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 5:12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Can I just say this? Most people do not like this kind of preaching. And I'm not special. I just want to tell you that right now. I'm just the messenger. I'm just waiting on God and saying, God, what do you want to say to these people from your word? There are many like me. There are many like me, but we are a minority. Do you understand that? Most people don't want to come into church and have the light of God's word correct them and expose them and challenge them and draw them to Christ and his repentance and mercy. Most people don't want to hear that. No, it says in the last days that the time will come when people will not put up with sound teaching. They won't put up with sound doctrine. But they will gather to themselves teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm wonderful. Make me go out of here feeling wonderful in my flesh. My friends, I'll never do that. I will never do that. By the grace of God, I'm going to speak the word of God to you that can fill you, not with a temporary happiness, but the joy of the Lord when you walk with him. Praise God. Verse 14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep. He's speaking to believers. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. God calls those who've returned to darkness, Christians who've returned to darkness, who continue walking in sin after being saved, to wake up. Respond to the light of conviction and he will bring you out of this deadly sleep into the light of his joy and peace. Romans 13:11, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Believers who return to walking in darkness are spiritually asleep. Paul says you've overslept all your alarms and you've hit the snooze too many times. It's getting late. It's almost too late. Get up, wake up. Jesus is closer. His coming is closer than we think. The night is far spent, verse 12, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You're children of light. Be clothed with light. For you believers who are walking faithfully with Christ, who are not making peace with sin or darkness, I want you to look at this, 1 John 2:8 as I close. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you. He's talking about the commandment to love as Christ loved. He says, this commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. For those in Christ, what is true in him is true in us, because he is in us and we are in him. His light is already shining in us and is driving out every remnant of darkness. Christ is in a battle to wash us and make us completely sanctified, useful for his Father's work. He's in a battle and he says, son, daughter, join me in this battle. I give you the victory, but join me in this battle. If you stumble, come back to me. I'm forgiving, I'm merciful, I'll wash you. Come back to me, but don't make peace. Don't make peace with the darkness. And I believe there are many in this house that's your testimony. You may not have full victory. You're struggling. You're fighting. But you're on the back path. You're fighting against the powers of darkness by he that is in you that's greater than him that's in the world. Keep fighting the good fight against the lusts which war against your souls. Keep fighting to love others with his heart, even when they don't love you back. Don't make peace with any darkness. The light of the world is himself our captain. We are marching to a city of light where the Lamb is its son. Revelation 21, 22. This is John's revelation. What he saw in the New Jerusalem. He said, but I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Friend, that's where we're going. That's where we're heading. Christ, the light of the world, he is our son. He's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. And I believe that he would say to those of you who are walking with him in faithfulness, not sinless perfection, but faithfulness, I'm pleased with you. Keep pursuing me. Keep walking with me. I will keep you from falling. And if you're a child of God and you're here today, you say, you know what? I'm in between the one who just keeps on sinning and the one who does. God's delivered me from some things, but I've gone back and made peace with some things, and you're walking in darkness. Jesus is saying, wake up. The alarm is going off. I'm not calling you to condemnation. I'm not calling you to judgment. I'm calling you to repentance and mercy. I'm calling you to times of refreshing in my presence when you do business with me. Amen.